This sound file contains the spoken version of the Wikipedia article on George Marshall. The material was recorded on December 3rd, 2017. George Marshall, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. George Catlett Marshall, Jr. was an American statesman and soldier. He was chief of staff of the United States Army under Presidents Franklin D. Roosevelt and Harry S. Truman, and served as Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense under Truman. He was hailed as the, quote, organizer of victory, unquote, by Winston Churchill for his leadership of the Allied victory in World War II. Born in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, Marshall was a 1901 graduate of the Virginia Military Institute. After serving briefly as Commandant of Students at the Danville Military Academy in Danville, Virginia, Marshall received his commission as a second lieutenant of infantry in February 1902. In the years after the Spanish-American War, he served in the United States and overseas in positions of increasing rank and responsibility, including platoon leader and company commander in the Philippines during the Philippine-American War. He was the honor graduate of his Infantry Cavalry School course in 1907 and graduated first in his 1908 Army Staff College class. In 1916, Marshall was assigned as aide-de-camp to J. Franklin Bell, the commander of the Western Department. After the United States entered World War I, Marshall served with Bell while Bell commanded the Department of the East. He was assigned to the staff of the 1st Division and assisted with the organization's mobilization and training in the United States, as well as planning of its combat operations in France. Subsequently assigned to the staff of the American Expeditionary Forces, he was a key planner of American operations, including the Moose Argonne Offensive. After the war, Marshall was assigned as an aide-de-camp to John J. Pershing, who was then serving as the Army's Chief of Staff. He later served on the Army Staff, commanded the 15th Infantry Regiment in China, and was an instructor at the Army War College. In 1927, he became Assistant Commandant of the Army's Infantry School, where he modernized command and staff processes, which proved to be a major benefit during World War II. In 1932 and 1933, he commanded the 8th Infantry Regiment and Fort Screven, Georgia. Marshall commanded 5th Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division, and Vancouver Barracks from 1936 to 1938 and received promotion to Brigadier General. During this command, Marshall was also responsible for 35 Civilian Conservation Corps camps in Oregon and southern Washington. In July 1938, Marshall was assigned to the War Plans Division on the War Department staff, and he was subsequently appointed as the Army's Deputy Chief of Staff. When Chief of Staff Malin Craig retired in 1939, Marshall became Acting Chief of Staff, and then Chief of Staff. He served as Chief of Staff until the end of the war in 1945. As Chief of Staff, Marshall organized the largest military expansion in U.S. history, and received promotion to 5-star rank as General of the Army. Marshall coordinated Allied operations in Europe and the Pacific until the end of the war, in addition to being hailed as the organizer of Allied victory by Winston Churchill, Time magazine named Marshall its Man of the Year for 1943. Marshall retired from active service in 1945, but remained on active duty, a requirement for holders of 5-star rank. In late 1945 and early 1946, he served as a special envoy to China in an unsuccessful effort to negotiate a coalition government between the nationalists of Chiang Kai-shek and communists under Mao Zedong. As Secretary of State from 1947 to 1949, Marshall received credit for the Marshall Plan for Europe's post-war rebuilding, the success of which was recognized with the award of the 1953 Nobel Peace Prize. After resigning as Secretary of State, Marshall served as Chairman of American Battle Monuments Commission and President of the American National Red Cross. As Secretary of Defense at the start of the Korean War, Marshall worked to restore the military's confidence and morale at the end of its post-World War II demobilization, and then its initial buildup for combat in Korea and operations during the Cold War. After resigning as Defense Secretary, Marshall retired to his home in Virginia. He died in 1959 and was buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Section 1. Early Life. George Catlett Marshall, Jr. was born into a middle-class family in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, the son of George Catlett Marshall, Sr. and Laura Emily Marshall. Marshall was a scion of an old Virginia family, as well as a distant relative of former Chief Justice John Marshall. Marshall graduated from the Virginia Military Institute, VMI, where he was initiated into the Kappa Alpha Order in 1901. He was an all-Southern tackle for the VMI Cadets varsity football team in 1900. Section 2, Entry into the Army and the Philippines. Following graduation from VMI in 1901, Marshall sat for a competitive examination for a commission in the U.S. Army. While awaiting the results, he took the position of Commandant of Students at the Danville Military Institute in Danville, Virginia. Marshall passed the exam and was commissioned a second lieutenant in February 1902. Prior to World War I, he was posted to various positions in the United States and the Philippines, including serving as an infantry platoon leader and company commander during the Philippine-American War and other guerrilla uprisings. He was schooled in modern warfare, including a tour at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas from 1906 to 1910 as both a student and an instructor. He was the honor graduate of his Infantry Cavalry School course in 1907 and graduated first in his 1908 Army Staff College class. After another tour of duty in the Philippines, Marshall returned to the United States in 1916 to serve as aide-de-camp to the commander of the Western Department, former Army Chief of Staff Major General J. Franklin Bell, at the Presidio in San Francisco. After the United States declared war on Germany in April 1917, Marshall relocated with Bell to Governor's Island, New York, when Bell was reassigned as commander of the Department of the East. Shortly afterwards, Marshall was assigned to help oversee the mobilization of the 1st Division for service in France. Section 3, World War I. During the Great War, he had roles as a planner of both training and operations. In the summer of 1917, he was assigned as Assistant Chief of Staff for Operations on the staff of the 1st Division. After overseeing the division's mobilization and organization in Texas, he departed for France with the division staff in mid-1917. On the long ocean voyage, his roommate was the division's Assistant Chief of Staff for Training, Leslie J. McNair. The two formed a personal and professional bond that they maintained for the rest of their careers. After arriving in France, Marshall served with the 1st Division on the Saint-Mihiel, Picardy, and Cantigny fronts. He won recognition and acclaim for his planning of the attack for the Battle of Cantigny, which took place from May 28th to May 31st, 1918. Its success resulted in the first notable American victory of the war. On May 26, Marshall was injured while traveling to several subordinate units to conduct pre-attack coordination. As he departed the division headquarters area, his horse stumbled, fell, and rolled over. Marshall's left foot was caught in the stirrup, and he sustained a severe sprain and bruise. A physician bound Marshall's injured ankle and foot with adhesive tape so that he could avoid medical evacuation and remain with the division to oversee the Cantigny attack. In mid-1918, he was posted to the headquarters of the American Expeditionary Force, where he worked closely with his mentor, General John Joseph Pershing, and was a key planner of American operations. He was instrumental in the planning and coordination of the Meuse-Argonne Offensive, which contributed to the defeat of the German Army on the Western Front in 1918. Marshall held the permanent rank of captain and the temporary rank of colonel. He was recommended for promotion to temporary brigadier general in October 1918, but the armistice occurred before the recommendation was acted on. After the war, Marshall reverted to his permanent rank. Section 4, Between World War I and II. In 1919, he became an aide-de-camp to General John J. Pershing. Between 1920 and 1924, while Pershing was Army Chief of Staff, Marshall worked in a number of positions in the Army, focusing on training and teaching modern mechanized warfare. Between World Wars I and II, he was a key planner and writer in the War Department, commanded the 15th Infantry Regiment for 3 years in China, and taught at the Army War College. In 1927, as a lieutenant colonel, he was appointed assistant commandant of the infantry school at Fort Benning, where he initiated major changes to modernize command and staff processes, which proved to be of major benefit during World War II. Marshall placed Edwin F. Harding in charge of the infantry school's publications, and Harding became editor of Infantry in Battle, a book that codified the lessons of World War I. Infantry in Battle is still used as an officer's training manual in the infantry officer's course, and was the training manual for most of the infantry officers and leaders of World War II. From June 1932 to June 1933, he was the commanding officer of the 8th Infantry Regiment at Fort Screven, Georgia. From July 1933 to October 1933, he was commander of Fort Moultrie, South Carolina, and District 1 of the Civilian Conservation Corps, and he was promoted to colonel in September 1933. He was senior instructor and chief of staff for the Illinois National Guard's 33rd Division, from November 1933 to August 1936. Marshall commanded the 5th Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division and Vancouver Barracks in Vancouver, Washington from 1936 to 1938 and was promoted to Brigadier General in October 1936. In addition to obtaining a long-sought and significant troop command, traditionally viewed as an indispensable step to the pinnacle of the U.S. Army. Marshall was also responsible for 35 Civilian Conservation Corps camps in Oregon and southern Washington. As post commander, Marshall made a concerted effort to cultivate relations with the city of Portland and to enhance the image of the U.S. Army in the region. With the CCC, he initiated a series of measures to improve the morale of the participants and make the experience beneficial in their later life. He started a newspaper for the CCC region that proved a vehicle to promote CCC successes, and he initiated a variety of programs that developed their skills and improved their health. Marshall's inspections of the CCC camps gave him and his wife, Catherine, the chance to enjoy the beauty of the American Northwest and made that assignment what he called, quote, the most instructive service I ever had and the most interesting, unquote. In July 1938, Marshall was reassigned to the War Plans Division in Washington, D.C., and subsequently reassigned as Deputy Chief of Staff. In that capacity, then Brigadier General Marshall attended a conference at the White House at which President Roosevelt proposed a plan to provide aircraft to England in support of the war effort. Lacking forethought with regard to logistical support or training, with all other attendees voicing support of the plan, Marshall was the only person to voice his disagreement. Despite the common belief that he had ended his career, this action resulted in his being nominated by President Franklin Roosevelt to be the Army Chief of Staff. Upon the retirement of General Malin Craig on July 1, 1939, Marshall became Acting Chief of Staff. Marshall was promoted to General and sworn in as Chief of Staff on September 1, 1939, the same day the German Army launched its invasion of Poland. He would hold this post until the end of the war in 1945. Section 5, World War II. As Chief of Staff, Marshall organized the largest military expansion in U.S. history, inheriting an outmoded, poorly equipped army of 189,000 men, and partly drawing from his experience teaching and developing techniques for modern warfare as an instructor at the Army War College, coordinated the large-scale expansion and modernization of the U.S. Army. Though he had never actually led troops in combat, Marshall was a skilled organizer with a talent for inspiring other officers. Many of the American generals who were given top commands during the war were either picked or recommended by Marshall, including Dwight D. Eisenhower, Jacob L. Devers, George S. Patton, Terry De La Mesa Allen Sr., Lloyd Fredendall, Leslie McNair, Mark Wayne Clark, and Omar Bradley. Expands military force 40-fold. Faced with the necessity of turning an army of former civilians into a force of over 8 million soldiers by 1942, Marshall directed General Leslie J. McNair to focus efforts on rapidly producing large numbers of soldiers. With the exception of airborne forces, Marshall approved McNair's concept of an abbreviated training schedule for men entering Army Land Forces training, particularly in regard to basic infantry skills, weapons proficiency, and combat tactics. At the time, most U.S. commanders at lower levels had little or no combat experience of any kind. Without the input of experienced British or Allied combat officers on the nature of modern warfare and enemy tactics, many resorted to formulaic training methods, emphasizing static defense and orderly large-scale advances by motorized convoys over improved roads. In consequence, Army forces deploying to Africa in Operation Torch suffered serious initial reverses when encountering German armored combat units in Africa at Kasserine Pass and other major battles. Even as late as 1944, U.S. soldiers undergoing stateside training in preparation for deployment against German forces in Europe were not being trained in combat procedures and tactics in use there. Replacement system criticized. Originally, Marshall had planned a 265-division army with a system of unit rotations such as practiced by the British and other allies. By mid-1943, however, after pressure from government and business leaders to preserve manpower for industry and agriculture, he had abandoned this plan in favor of a 9th Division army using individual replacements sent via a circuitous process from training to divisions in combat. The individual replacement system devised by Marshall and implemented by McNair greatly exacerbated problems with unit cohesion and effective transfer of combat experience to newly trained soldiers and officers. In Europe, where there were few pauses in combat with German forces, the individual replacement system had broken down completely by late 1944. Hastily trained replacements or service personnel reassigned as infantry were given 6 weeks refresher training and thrown into battle with army divisions locked in frontline combat. The new men were often not even proficient in the use of their own rifles or weapon systems, and once in combat could not receive enough practical instruction from veterans before being killed or wounded, usually within the first 3 or 4 days. Under such conditions, many replacements suffered a crippling loss of morale, while veteran soldiers were kept in line units until they were killed, wounded, or incapacitated by battle fatigue or physical illness. Incidents of soldiers AWOL from combat duty, as well as battle fatigue and self-inflicted injury, rose rapidly during the last 8 months of the war with Germany. As one historian concluded, quote, "Had the Germans been given a free hand to devise a replacement system, one that would do the Americans the most harm and the least good, they could not have done a better job," end quote. Marshall's abilities to pick competent field commanders during the early part of the war was decidedly mixed. While he had been instrumental in advancing the career of the able Dwight D. Eisenhower, he had also recommended the swaggering Lloyd Fredendall to Eisenhower for a major command in the American invasion of North Africa during Operation Torch. Marshall was especially fond of Fredendall, describing him as, quote, "one of the best," unquote, and remarking in a staff meeting when his name was mentioned, quote, "I like that man. You can see the determination all over his face," unquote. Eisenhower duly picked him to command the 39,000 Central Task Force in Operation Torch. Both men would come to regret that decision, as Fredendall was the leader of U.S. Army forces at the disastrous Battle of the Kasserine Pass. Planned Invasion of Europe. During World War II, Marshall was instrumental in preparing the U.S. Army and Army Air Forces for the invasion of the European continent. Marshall wrote the document that would become the central strategy for all Allied operations in Europe. He initially scheduled Operation Overlord for April 1, 1943, but met with strong opposition from Winston Churchill, who convinced Roosevelt to commit troops to Operation Husky for the invasion of Italy. Some authors think that World War II could have ended 1 year earlier if Marshall had had his way. Others think that such an invasion would have meant utter failure. It was assumed that Marshall would become the supreme commander of Operation Overlord, but Roosevelt selected Dwight Eisenhower as supreme commander. While Marshall enjoyed considerable success in working with Congress and President Franklin D. Roosevelt, he refused to lobby for the position. President Roosevelt didn't want to lose his presence in the States. He told Marshall, quote, "I didn't feel I could sleep at ease if you were out of Washington," end quote. When rumors circulated that the top job would go to Marshall, many critics viewed the transfer as a demotion for Marshall, since he would leave his position as Chief of Staff of the Army and lose his seat on the combined Chiefs of Staff. On December 16, 1944, Marshall became the first American Army general to be promoted to five-star rank, the newly created General of the Army, the American equivalent rank to Field Marshal. He was the second American to be promoted to a five-star rank, as William Leahy was promoted to Fleet Admiral the previous day. Throughout the remainder of World War II, Marshall coordinated Allied operations in Europe and the Pacific. He was characterized as the organizer of Allied victory by Winston Churchill. Time magazine named Marshall Man of the Year for 1943. Marshall resigned his post of Chief of Staff in 1945, but did not retire, as regulations stipulate that generals of the Army remain on active duty for life. Section 6, Analysis of Pearl Harbor Intelligence Failure. After World War II ended, the Congressional Joint Committee on the Investigation of the Pearl Harbor Attack received testimony on the intelligence failure. It amassed 25,000 pages of documents, 40 volumes, and included 9 reports and investigations, 8 of which had been previously completed. These reports included criticism of Marshall for delay in sending General Walter Short, the Army commander in Hawaii, important information obtained from intercepted Japanese diplomatic messages. The report also criticized Marshall's lack of knowledge of the readiness of the Hawaiian command during November and December 1941. 10 days after the attack, Lieutenant General Short and Admiral Husband E. Kimmel, commander of the Navy at Pearl Harbor, were both relieved of their duties. The final report of the Joint Committee did not single out or fault Marshall. While the report was critical of the overall situation, the committee noted that the subordinates had failed to pass on important information to their superiors, including Marshall. A secret report into the Army's role, the Clausen Report, was authorized by Secretary Stimson. It was critical of Short and also of Colonel Braddon, who he concluded arrived later on Sunday morning than he initially claimed during testimony, and invented a story about not being able to get in touch with Marshall, which, quote, "nearly destroyed," unquote, Marshall. Section 7, Post-War, China. In December 1945, President Harry Truman sent Marshall to China to broker a coalition government between the Nationalist Allies under Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek and Communists under Mao Zedong. Marshall had no leverage over the Communists, but he threatened to withdraw American aid essential to the Nationalists. Both sides rejected his proposals and the Chinese Civil War escalated, with the Communists winning in 1949. His mission a failure, he returned to the United States in January 1947. Chiang Kai-shek and some historians later claim that ceasefire under pressure of Marshall saved the Communists from defeat. As Secretary of State in 1947 to 1948, Marshall seems to have disagreed with strong opinions in the Pentagon and State Department that Chiang's success was vital to American interests, insisting that U.S. troops not become involved. Section 8, Secretary of State and Nobel Peace Prize. After Marshall's return to the U.S. in early 1947, Truman appointed Marshall Secretary of State. He became the spokesman for the State Department's ambitious plans to rebuild Europe. On June 5, 1947, in a speech at Harvard University, he outlined the American proposal. The European Recovery Program, as it was formerly known, became known as the Marshall Plan. Clark Clifford had suggested to Truman that the plan be called the Truman Plan, but Truman immediately dismissed that idea and insisted that it be called the Marshall Plan. The Marshall Plan would help Europe quickly rebuild and modernize its economy along American lines. The Soviet Union forbade its satellites to participate. Marshall was again named Time's Man of the Year for 1947. He received the Nobel Peace Prize for his post-war work in 1953, the only career officer in the United States Army to ever receive this honor. As Secretary of State, Marshall strongly opposed recognizing the State of Israel. Marshall felt that if the State of Israel was declared, that a war would break out in the Middle East. Marshall saw recognizing the Jewish state as a political move to gain Jewish support in the upcoming election, in which Truman was expected to lose to Dewey. He told President Truman in May 1948, quote, "If you recognize the State of Israel, and if I were to vote in the election, I would vote against you," end quote. However, Marshall refused to vote in any election as a matter of principle. Marshall resigned from the State Department because of ill health on January 7, 1949, and the same month became chairman of the American Battle Monuments Commission. In September 1949, Marshall was named president of the American National Red Cross. Section 9, Secretary of Defense. When the early months of the Korean War showed how poorly prepared the Defense Department was, President Truman fired Secretary Lewis A. Johnson and named Marshall as Secretary of Defense in September 1950. The appointment required a congressional waiver because the National Security Act of 1947 prohibited a uniformed military officer from serving in this post. This prohibition included Marshall, since individuals promoted to General of the Army are not technically retired, but remain officially on active duty even after their active service has concluded. General Marshall was the first person to be granted such a waiver, with Defense Secretary James Mattis being the second to receive it. Marshall's main role as Secretary of Defense was to restore confidence and morale while rebuilding the armed forces following their post-World War II demobilization. Korean War. Marshall worked to provide more manpower to meet the demands of both the Korean War and the Cold War in Europe. To implement his priorities, Marshall brought in a new leadership team, including Robert A. Lovett as his deputy, and Anna M. Rosenberg, former head of the War Manpower Commission, as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower. He also worked to rebuild the relationship between the Defense and State Departments, as well as the relationship between the Secretary of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Marshall participated in the post-Incheon landing discussion that led to authorizing Douglas MacArthur to conduct operations in North Korea. A secret, quote, eyes-only, unquote, signal from Marshall to MacArthur on September 29, 1950, declared the Truman administration's commitment. Quote, "We want you to feel unhampered strategically and tactically to proceed north of the 38th parallel," unquote. At the same time, Marshall advised against public pronouncements which might lead the United Nations votes undermining or countermanding the initial mandate to restore the border between North and South Korea. Marshall and the Joint Chiefs of Staff were generally supportive of MacArthur because they were of the view that field commanders should be able to exercise their best judgment in accomplishing the intent of their superiors. Following Chinese military intervention in Korea during late November, Marshall and the Joint Chiefs of Staff sought ways to aid MacArthur while avoiding all-out war with China. In the debate over what to do about China's increased involvement, Marshall opposed a ceasefire on the grounds that it would make the U.S. look weak in China's eyes, leading to demands for future concessions. In addition, Marshall argued that the U.S. had a moral obligation to honor its commitment to South Korea. When British Prime Minister Clement Attlee suggested diplomatic overtures to China, Marshall opposed, arguing that it was impossible to negotiate with the communist government. In addition, Marshall expressed concern that concessions to China would undermine confidence in the U.S. among its Asian allies, including Japan and the Philippines. When some in Congress favored expanding the war in Korea and confronting China, Marshall argued against a wider war in Korea, continuing instead to stress the importance of containing the Soviet Union during the Cold War battle for primacy in Europe. Relief of General MacArthur.
Increasingly concerned about public statements from General Douglas MacArthur, commander of United Nations forces fighting in the Korean War, which contradicted President Harry S. Truman's on prosecution of the war, on the morning of April 6, 1951, Truman held a meeting with Marshall, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Omar Bradley, Secretary of State Acheson, and Advisor W. Averell Harriman to discuss whether MacArthur should be removed from command. Harriman was emphatically in favor of MacArthur's relief, but Bradley opposed it. Marshall asked for more time to consider the matter. Acheson was in favor but did not disclose this, instead warning Truman that if he did it, MacArthur's relief would cause, quote, the biggest fight of your administration, end quote. At another meeting the following day, Marshall and Bradley continued to oppose MacArthur's relief. On April 8th, the Joint Chiefs of Staff met with Marshall, and each expressed the view that MacArthur's relief was desirable from a, quote, military point of view, unquote, suggesting that, quote, if MacArthur were not relieved, a large segment of our people would charge that civil authorities no longer controlled the military, unquote. Marshall, Bradley, Acheson, and Harriman met with Truman again on April 9th. Bradley informed the president of the views of the Joint Chiefs, and Marshall added that he agreed with them. Truman wrote in his diary that, quote, it is of unanimous opinion of all that MacArthur be relieved, all four so advise, unquote. The Joint Chiefs would later insist that they had only, quote, concurred, unquote, with the relief, not, quote, recommended, unquote, it. On April 11, 1951, President Truman directed transmittal of an order to MacArthur, issued over Bradley's signature, relieving MacArthur of his assignment in Korea and directing him to turn over command to Matthew Ridgway. In line with Marshall's view and those of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, MacArthur's relief was looked upon by proponents as being necessary to reassert the tenet of civilian control of the military. Section 10. Retirement. Marshall retired in September 1951 to his home, Dodona Manor, in Leesburg, Virginia, to tend to his gardens and continue his passion for horseback riding. He was head of the American delegation at the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II in 1953. He also served as chairman of the American Battle Monuments Commission from 1949 to 1959. Section 11. Death and Burial. Marshall died at Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C. on October 16, 1959, at the age of 78. He is interred at Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia, in Section 7, Grave 8198. Marshall is buried with his first wife, Elizabeth Carter Coles, his first wife's mother, Elizabeth Pendleton Coles, and his second wife, Catherine Tupper Brown Marshall. Section 12. Reputation and Legacy. Marshall's reputation for excellence as a military organizer and planner was recognized early in his career and became known throughout the Army. In a performance appraisal prepared while Marshall was a lieutenant in the Philippines, his superior, Captain E.J. Williams, responded to the routine question of whether he would want the evaluated officer to serve under his command again by writing of Marshall, quote, should the exigencies of active service place him in exalted command, I would be glad to serve under him, unquote. In 1913, General Johnson Haggood, then a lieutenant colonel, completed a written evaluation of Marshall's performance, in which he called Marshall a military genius. Responding to the question of whether he would want his subordinate Marshall to serve under him again, Haggood wrote, quote, yes, but I would prefer to serve under his command, unquote. In addition to his military success, Marshall is primarily remembered as the driving force behind the Marshall Plan, which provided billions of dollars in aid to post-war Europe to restart the economies of the destroyed countries. In recent years, the cooperation required between former European adversaries as part of the Marshall Plan has been recognized as one of the earliest factors that led to the formation of the European Coal and Steel Community and eventually the European Union. In a television interview after leaving office, Harry S. Truman was asked which American he thought had made the greatest contribution of the preceding 30 years. Without hesitation, Truman picked Marshall, adding, quote, I don't think in this age in which I have lived that there has been a man who has been a greater administrator, a man with a knowledge of military affairs equal to General Marshall, unquote. Orson Welles said in an interview with Dick Cavett that, quote, Marshall is the greatest man I ever met. I think he was the greatest human being who was also a great man. He was a tremendous gentleman, an old-fashioned institution, which isn't with us anymore, unquote.
Section 13, Family Life. George Marshall was the youngest of three siblings. His older brother, Stuart Bradford Marshall, was a graduate of the Virginia Military Institute and became a manager and executive in several metal production corporations, including the American Manganese Manufacturing Company. He later worked as a metallurgist and consulting engineer specializing in the production and operation of blast furnaces, coke ovens, and foundries. George and Stuart Marshall were long estranged, according to relatives. George Marshall's first wife, Lily, had dated other VMI cadets before him and rejected their proposals, to include Stuart Marshall. When Stuart found out George was engaged to Lily, Stuart made unkind remarks about her, and George, quote, cut him off my list, unquote. His sister Marie was the wife of Dr. John J. Singer, an Army physician who died in 1934. Marshall married Elizabeth Carter Coles, or, quote, Lily, unquote, at her mother's home on Letcher Avenue in Lexington, Virginia, on February 11, 1902. She died on September 15, 1927, after thyroid surgery that put significant strain on her weak heart. They did not have children. On October 15, 1930, Marshall married Catherine Boyce Tupper. John J. Pershing served as best man. Catherine Tupper was the mother of three children with Baltimore lawyer Clifton Stevenson Brown, who had been murdered by a disgruntled client in 1928. The second Miss Marshall was a graduate of the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. She later studied at the Comédie Française and toured with Frank Benson's English Shakespearean Company. She authored a memoir, 1946's Together, Annals of an Army Wife. One of Marshall's stepsons, Alan Tupper Brown, was an Army lieutenant who was killed by a German sniper in Italy on May 29, 1944. Another stepson was Major Clifton Stevenson Brown, Jr. Stepdaughter Molly Brown Wynn, who was the mother of actress Kitty Wynn, was married to U.S. Army Major James J. Wynn, who had been an aide to General Marshall. Marshall was a Freemason, having been made a Mason, quote, at sight, unquote, in 1941 by the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of the District of Columbia. George Marshall maintained a home, known as Dodona Manor, and later as the Marshall House, in Leesburg, Virginia. This was his first and only permanent residence owned by Marshall, who later said, quote, this is home, a real home, after 41 years of wandering, unquote. The restored home and its surrounding gardens are open to the public as a museum. Section 14, Fictional Portrayals. Keith Andis in the 1970 film Tora Tora Tora. Ward Costello in the 1977 film MacArthur. Dana Andrews in the 1979 film Ike, The War Years. Norman Burton in the 1988 miniseries War and Remembrance. Hal Holbrook in the 1989 television film Day One. Harris Yolen in the 1995 television movie Truman. Harve Presnell in the 1998 film Saving Private Ryan. Scott Wilson in the 2001 film Pearl Harbor. Donald Eugene McCoy in the 2009 Chinese movie The Founding of a Republic. Richard Duvall in the 2012 Russian miniseries Chekhov. Marshall is a character in three different alternate history timelines in novels by Harry Turtledove, World War, Joe Steele, and The Hot War. Section 15, Dates of Rank. Second Lieutenant, United States Army, February 2, 1902. First Lieutenant, United States Army, March 7, 1907. Captain, United States Army, July 1, 1916. Major, National Army, August 5, 1917. Lieutenant Colonel, National Army, January 5th, 1918. Colonel, National Army, August 27th, 1918. Captain, Regular Army, reverted to permanent rank, June 30th, 1920. Major, Regular Army, July 1st, 1920. Lieutenant Colonel, Regular Army, August 21st, 1923. Colonel, Regular Army, September 1st, 1933. Brigadier General, Regular Army, October 1st, 1936. Major General, Regular Army, September 1st, 1939. General, Regular Army for service as Army Chief of Staff, September 1st, 1939. General of the Army, Army of the United States, December 16th, 1944. General of the Army, rank made permanent in the Regular Army, April 11th, 1946. Section 16, Awards and Decorations.
Distinguished Service Medal with one oak leaf cluster. Silver Star. Philippine Campaign Medal. World War I Victory Medal with four campaign clasps. Army of Occupation of Germany Medal. American Defense Service Medal. American Campaign Medal. World War II Victory Medal. National Defense Service Medal. Foreign Orders. Honorary Knight Grand Cross of the Order of the Bath, United Kingdom. Grand Cross of the Legion of Honor, France. Grand Cross of the Order of Military Merit, Brazil. Grand Cross of the Order of Merit, Chile. Grand Cross of the Order of Boyaca Chirifian, Colombia. Member First Class of the Order of Military Merit, Cuba. Member First Class of the Order of Abdon Calderon, Ecuador. Knight Grand Cross with Swords of the Order of George I, Greece. Knight Grand Cross of the Order of Saints Maurice and Lazarus, Italy. Knight Grand Cross of the Order of the Crown of Italy, Italy. Grand Cross of the Order of Wissam Alawit, Morocco. Knight Grand Cross with Swords of the Order of Orange Nassau, Netherlands. Grand Officer of the Order of the Sun, Peru. Member First Class of the Order of Suvorov, the Soviet Union. Foreign Decorations and Medals. Croix de Guerre, France. Medal for the Centennial of the Republic of Liberia. Silver Medal for Bravery, Montenegro. Medal of Solidarity Second Class, Panama. Civilian Honors. On October 16, 1945, he was presented with permanent membership in the Reserve Officers Association by President Harry Truman. In 1946, he was awarded the United States Congressional Gold Medal. In 1948, he was awarded the Grand Lodge of New York's Distinguished Achievement Award for his role and contributions during and after World War II. 1953 Nobel Peace Prize for the Marshall Plan. 1959 Carl's Preis, International Charlemagne Prize of the City of Aachen. 1960 George C. Marshall Space Flight Center, originally the Army Ballistics Missile Agency at Redstone Arsenal, Huntsville, Alabama, became a NASA field center and was renamed. The United States Postal Service honored him with a Prominent American Series, 20 cents postage stamp. The British Parliament established the Marshall Scholarship in recognition of Marshall's contributions to Anglo-American relations. Many buildings and streets throughout the U.S. and other nations are named in his honor. George C. Marshall Award, the highest award given to a chapter in Kappa Alpha Order. George C. Marshall High School, founded in 1962 and located in Falls Church, Virginia, is the only public high school in the United States named for Marshall. The nickname of the school, the Statesman, appropriately reflects his life and contributions. The Marshall Elementary School is in the Laurel Highlands School District, Uniontown, Pennsylvania. George C. Marshall Elementary School, located in Vancouver, Washington. The George C. Marshall European Center for Security Studies in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, Germany. George Catlett Marshall Medal, awarded by the Association of the United States Army, awarded to Bob Hope in 1972. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 unported license, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0.